Well, good morning again. Another beautiful, in my mind, beautiful week. To me, June's been always been probably one of my favorite months, or most favorite month, because of just how green everything is, and everything's flowers are coming out, and things are coming in out of the garden. It's just the days are longer. And this year, I think it's special. We had rain every week, just kept things lush, things growing. And it was hot. I know Dennis complains about how hot it was. Of course, I'm sitting in the nice bank with all the air conditioning. It seems nice to me, you know, but it's still, you know, I don't think it got up to 90 degrees, or if it did, it didn't get much above 90 degrees. But I'm sure with the humidity, it feels hotter. Anyway, as most of you know, I'm the treasurer of our local fire company. I've been the treasurer of the fire company for 30-some years now, I think. I can't remember anymore. But over the year, you know, I see a lot when I'm involved with an organization like that. And I've noticed, you know, we've had a lot of volunteers, a lot of people that just really are serving people, just go out of their way to do all the different things a fire company has to do, not only fight fires, but also raise the money to be able to buy the equipment, keep the bills paid. And our fire company was blessed for many, many years with a very active ladies auxiliary that was, you know, they just loved to be in the kitchen cooking. They did a lot of public dinners. They did a lot of catered meals for organizations that wanted to have catered meals. And they just, you know, helped raise a lot of money for the fire company. Several years ago, some of the leading firemen became quite critical of some of the ladies in the ladies auxiliary. Now, I don't totally understand it because to me it wasn't right that they were so critical. But I'm not around the firehouse except usually for the meetings and occasionally go by there to pick up my mail and stuff. But anyway, they actually became quite hostile towards some of the women. They were impolite. They were rude. The ladies would ask the firemen to set up tables and chairs for them for a dinner that they wanted to have. And basically, the firemen just ignored them and didn't do it. They talked about the ladies behind their back. And, you know, that gets around. The ladies eventually know they're talking behind their back. So one morning, about a year ago, I think it was, there was a large house fire. And it was a really bad fire. By the time they got there, the house was fully engulfed. And it was a very hot fire. It was a hot day. And this house was kind of up on a hill, and there really was just a little driveway going up to the house, and you had to basically park the fire trucks down along the highway and drag all the hoses up the hill. So it was quite a strenuous fire. It was hot, and the guys really had a rough day that day. But after the fire, the firemen were very angry at the ladies' auxiliary, because the ladies' auxiliary did not make them any food, did not bring them sandwiches or anything. And so at the next fire company meeting, some of the ladies were present, and the firemen were quite critical in the meeting, even nasty in their comments about the ladies. And of course, the ladies were very upset and, you know, actually walked out of the meeting. You can almost picture the situation. They quit, some of the ladies, especially the ones that they were being critical about. I mean, there was basically a misunderstanding, in my mind, as to what their role was. I mean, these were ladies who were fairly new, because all of the older ladies have basically aren't able to do it anymore, or not living anymore. But anyway, that caused quite a hurting on our ladies' auxiliary. Our ladies' auxiliary is not yours involved anymore. We have a ladies' auxiliary, but there's just not enough help. And because of that, our fire company suffers financially. So, you know, as I look upon this, if our firemen would have shown a little more kindness and consideration and would have been a little more pleasant toward our ladies, things would have been different. Things would have been different. You know, I think they could have communicated what they needed, why they needed what they needed. Things could have worked out. But today I would like to focus on that quality of being kind and pleasant to others. The quality of being kind and pleasant of other to others. It is something that we all can do better at. I know I can do better. I look back, I can do better at it. It's just something to continue to work on. It is something that will help us get along with other people better. It's going to help make their lives more pleasant, and it actually will make our lives more pleasant also. So first I want to go over to Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. We just kept the Feast of Pentecost. Feast of Pentecost focuses on the giving of the Holy Spirit. The giving of the Holy Spirit. And Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 is a special scripture because it tells us of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to read what it says the fruits of the Holy Spirit are. And I'm reading from the New King James. Your translation may have a little bit different word, but it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." All very positive qualities. And that's the fruit of God's Holy Spirit. Those fruits should be in our lives if we have God's Holy Spirit living in us. So today I want to focus in on four of those spirits, or those fruits actually, and especially the one of kindness. But when you look at it, kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control, they kind of all go together. Actually, all of these fruits go together, but my focus today is kind of going to be on those four. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. So I want to look at a biblical example over in 1 Samuel chapter 19. 1 Samuel chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And just notice the contrast of the different characters in this story. 1 Samuel 19, 1 through 7. "Now Saul spoke to Jonathan his son and to all his servants that they should kill David." Not a very good spirit there of Saul. It's not one of God's fruits. "But Jonathan, Saul's son, delighted greatly in David." So Jonathan was very positive about David. He delighted in him. He thought a lot of David. He actually grew to have a love and respect for David's really good qualities. Anyway, so Jonathan told David, saying, "My father, Saul, seeks to kill you." So Jonathan did the right thing. He went to his friend, the person he respected, and said, and warned him that Saul was out to kill him. "Therefore, please be on your guard until morning and stay in a secret place and hide. And I will go out and stand beside my father in the field where you are, and I will speak with my father about you. Then what I observe, I will tell you." So thus Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul, his father, and said to him, let not the king sin against his servant, against David, because he hasn't sinned against you, and because his works have been very good toward you. For he took his life in his hands and killed the Philistine. And the Lord brought about a great deliverance for all Israel. And you saw it and rejoiced. Why then will you sin against innocent blood to kill David without a cause? You know, David had actually saved Saul's army by volunteering and killing the giant Goliath, and then helped Saul in actually routing the Philistines. So Saul heeded the voice of Jonathan, and Jonathan was a son, went to his father and talked some sense into him, at least temporarily, and said, "As the Lord lives, he shall not be killed." So then Jonathan called David, and Jonathan told him all these things. So Jonathan brought David to Saul, and he was in his presence as in times past. So notice the contrast especially between Saul and Jonathan. How Jonathan delighted in David, and he wanted to be around him. He wanted him to be around. He saw his benefits. And he went out of his way. He actually went out of his way. He didn't have to do this. He could have let David be killed. Then he didn't have a competitor then to take over the throne. Because in a sense, Jonathan could have looked at it as David being a competitor. David was going to be the next king. It didn't seem to matter to Jonathan. He saw that probably David would be a better king than him anyway. So he kept his word. He went back to David, and he spoke up for David. He was very kind to David. It was very much appreciated by David. Notice what David had to say about Jonathan over in 2 Samuel now. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26. 2 Samuel 1, 26. Because David did not forget this kindness. 2 Samuel 1, 26. This was, as the story went, they had another battle. Both Jonathan and Saul were killed in the battle. And, of course, the people of Israel were very upset, including David. He was very upset about this. We pick up the story in verse 26. This is what David's, his thoughts and what he said. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. You have been very pleasant to me. Your love to me was wonderful, surpassing the love of women. His love was a self-sacrificing love. He laid his life on the line. I mean, Saul could have gotten angry at him and lashed out at him for defending David. And David saw Jonathan's love for him, his kindness toward him, how pleasant, he mentions here how pleasant he was to him. Kindness and pleasantness kind of go together. This is an example of how someone was kind and pleasant to someone else and really had quite an effect on that person, had quite an effect into history. The words kind and pleasant have a lot of synonyms, and I looked up some of the synonyms to just help us to get a feel for some of the aspects of what we're talking about. Person who is kind and pleasant is pleasing. He is amiable. He is kindly. He is nice. He is agreeable. He is mannerly. He is also modest. He is gracious. He is polite. is courteous, is respectful, is considerate, is affable, he is congenial, he is good-natured, he is gentle. And gentleness is one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. When I looked it up in the thesaurus with synonyms, all these words kind of come out at you. All very positive words, very positive qualities in a person. So, and they're all aspects of being kind and pleasant. So, how should we, as Christians, behave toward other people? Probably already know the answer, but let's go to a scripture in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. How should we as Christians behave towards other people? Romans chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. And it's kind of interesting, this passage of scripture has different words for love, all used in this little passage. The first one is agape love. The first word in the Greek for love is agape. It means self-sacrificing. Self-sacrificing love. So let that kind of love be without hypocrisy. Do it because you sincerely want to help that person. You don't just talk the talk, but you walk the walk. Then it says, abhor what is evil. That's kind of the opposite. Evil is opposite of love. Cling to what is good. And notice the word goodness is one of the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. So cling to what is good is something we should be trying to cling towards. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. And that's the filial love, the brotherly love. Brotherly love actually means to have a fondness. A fondness for your brother or your sister. To have an affection. It's not sexual love. Neither one of these loves is a sexual love. It's the deep kind of love where you have good feelings toward one another, where you actually go out of your way to help them. So be kindly affectionate. Notice that word kindly to one another with brotherly love. And this is especially talking to us as Christians as we deal with one another in the church. And honor, giving preference to one another. So, how we treat people, how should we behave towards other people? We should be kindly. We should have love. We should be pleasant and kind. We should abhor being mean. We should abhor being disrespectful or hateful. We should cling to being pleasant. And we should have like a family affection to one another. You know, families are meant to be close. Families are meant to pull for one another. Families are meant to help one another out. Families are meant to be the warm haven where, you know, you can go and you can receive the comfort and encouragement you need when things haven't gone well for you. When you need comfort and encouragement, family should be that warm haven you can go to and get that comfort and encouragement. And notice the last phrase there, in honor giving preference to one another. In honor giving preference to one another. You can have the best. You can go first. You can choose first. Or you can have it, I can do something else. You know. Giving preference to one another. It's all a part of being pleasant and kind. Now I want to go back to the Old Testament, Psalms chapter 40, verses 10 through 11. Psalm chapter 40, verses 10 to 11. And this is a Psalm of David. Psalm of David. And a lot of Psalms of David describe God. It helps us pray. Psalms are meant to praise God, point out God's qualities, lift God up to where, you know, he needs to be exalted. Psalm 40, verse 10, breaking into this passage. He says, I've not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great assembly. So God, he's pointing out God is righteous. He is faithful. He is a God of salvation. He saves. But he's also a God of loving kindness. That's an aspect of him. And you would expect it as a fruit of his spirit. It's his spirit that's kind. It's his spirit that's gentle and good. He says, I have not concealed that from the great assembly. Verse 11. Do not withhold your tender mercies from me, O God. Let your loving kindness and your truth continually preserve me. God has tender mercies. God is pleasant. He is kind. He is gentle. He is good. So he asks for God to show him kindness, to show him mercy, to show him gentleness and goodness. So our God is a being that has loving kindness. David was actually asking for God's loving kindness to surround him, that he wanted that loving kindness, that affection, that truthfulness, all those aspects. He wanted that to surround him in verse 12. For innumerable evils have surrounded me, but he would want those good qualities to surround him. So when you're around kind and pleasant people, you tend to have a warm, comfortable feeling. That's just natural. If you're around kind and pleasant people, it's very nice to be around those kind of people. And yes, God is kind and pleasant, and he wants his children to be kind and pleasant. 1 Chronicles 10, 2 Chronicles chapter 10, another story. 2 Chronicles 10. Now, after David and after Solomon, the next king was Rehoboam. And Rehoboam was young, evidently, when he became king, and he really didn't know how to handle things. So soon after he became the king, the people came to him asking to make their burdens lighter, to make their taxes a little lower. And Rehoboam didn't exactly know what to do, so he did the right thing. He sought advice. So we'll pick up the story here in verse 4 of 2 Chronicles 10. And this is what the people were saying to him. Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the burdensome service of your father and his heavy yoke, which he put on us, and we will serve you. So he said to them, come back to me after 3 days. So the people departed. So far, so good. Then King Rehoboam consulted the elders who stood before his father Solomon while he still lived. How do you advise me to answer these people? And they spoke to him, saying, if you are kind to these people and please them and speak good words to them, they will be your servants forever. Sounds like the advice he probably should have taken. But verse 8 says, but he rejected the advice which the elders had given him, and consulted the young men who had grown up with him, who stood before him. And he said to them, "What advice do you give? How would you answer this people who have spoken to me, saying, 'Lighten the burden'?" Then the young men who had grown up with him spoke to him, saying, "You shall thus speak to the people who have spoken to you, saying, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you make it lighter on us.' You shall say to them, 'My little finger will be thicker than my father's waist. And now, whereas my father put a heavy yoke on you, I'll add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scourges.'" The opposite of being kind, speaking kind words, actually speaking very hostile kind of words. And he spoke to them very rudely, very harshly, without respect. You know, he should have considered, you know, how he would have wanted to have been treated. He should have treated them the way he would have wanted to have been treated if he would have been them. But he didn't consider that. Because that's one of the golden rule, you know. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. It's something to always keep in the back of your mind. And if he would have followed the right advice, they probably would have served him forever, and very cheerfully they would have done it. But as the story turns out, he ended up losing most of the country over this. Only the tribe of Judah and some of the tribe of Benjamin stayed and were loyal to Rehoboam. The rest of the tribes left, started their own nations. They ended up making a lot of bad decisions themselves and not worshiping God the way God intended them to worship him. So it ended up, this was a really turning point in the history of the nation of Israel right here. And it all comes down to, you know, if they would have just been kind, if he would have just been kind to them, it would have made quite a difference in history. At least from that point. Then it can get messed up at the next crisis, you know. Let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26. Proverbs chapter 15, 26. It says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant." The words of the pure are pleasant, and they would be pleasing to God also. Pleasing words. And the opposite is wicked words, or the opposite of wicked thoughts are pleasant thoughts. So why are the words of the pure pleasant? Turn to another proverb, one page, Proverbs 16, verse 24. It says, "Pleasant words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones." Pleasant words make quite a difference. Like honey, which is it's just a wonderful thing God has made. Honey is sweet, but it's also good for our health. In the right, if you eat it in the right amount, it's just a wonderful thing. Don't have to add anything to it. Now, teachers have found, or educators, put it this way, educators have found that if the teacher is perceived by the children as kind and pleasant, that the children in that classroom will actually increase their learning. They respond positively to a kind and pleasant teacher. Now, the teacher can be firm in the rules and, you know, have discipline and order. That's not the issue. But if she does it in a kind and pleasant way, they've actually found the children learn a lot more. They respond. People respond to kindness and pleasantness, just like our bodies respond to honey. Honey will give us energy, make us, help us just be more positive. Over in 2 Kings, another example. Actually, this is the last part of the books of Kings. 2 Kings 25. The last story of the book of Kings ends on a positive, with a positive example, one we probably don't read very often. 2 Kings chapter 25, 27 through 30. It kind of gives us a ray of hope, a positive note. Because the Israelites had been in captivity, the Jews had been in captivity to the Babylonians. The Babylonians had treated them quite harshly for most of the time. But this was some years after they had been taken captivity. So pick it up in 27. Now it came to pass, this was 37 years, in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiachin, king of Judah, in the 12th month, the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, now he had quite a name, kind of very negative name, but I don't think it reflects how he really was. Anyway, he in that year began to reign. He released Jehoiachin, king of Judah, from prison, and he spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiachin changed from his prison garments and ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provision, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. And so ends the books of Kings. The book of Kings ends on a positive note and shows us that even a Gentile king could show kindness. And the kindness made a difference. A Gentile king showed consideration for this Jehoiachin. And God remembered this thing and inspired it to be in the Bible. For some reason, God inspired this to be written down. And I think it's because of the example of kindness he showed to his enemy. So I want to look at another example, and this is one that we just looked at last week. Ruth. But I just want to focus in on this aspect from the story of Ruth, the aspect of kindness and pleasantness. So we all know the story. This is a Jewish family that had a drought in their country, that were the land where they were living in Judah. So they went to the country of Moab because they had heard that there was food in Moab. So they went to Moab, and there was a father and a mother and two sons. The two sons married girls that were from Moab after they went there. But soon after that, both the father and the two sons all die. So at this point, it's a very sad story. Naomi, the mother, decided she wanted to go back to Judah. She heard that they were finally getting rain, crops were growing. She wanted to go back to her land where they worshiped her God, where she had some relatives. But her life was not... She didn't have a whole lot to look forward to because she basically lost her sons, her husband. There was no one to support her. And in those days, women definitely needed men to help support them to survive. So she didn't know what her future would be. She just knew she wanted to go back. And she told the daughters-in-law, you know, you stay here in Moab where your people are, find another husband. And the one daughter-in-law took her up on that. She decided to stay. But the other daughter-in-law, Ruth, decided to stay with Naomi. Ruth chapter 1, verse 15 through 17. I'm sure you all have heard this before. But it's just such a tremendous thing that Ruth said to her mother-in-law. And she said, look, your sister, Ruth, this is Naomi said, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. You go back too. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. What a kind, encouraging thing for Ruth to say. Ruth had decided she was a part of Naomi's family, and she was going to do the thing families are supposed to do, stick together, encourage each other, help each other. Even though for her, probably, her future didn't look too bright either if she went back with Naomi. So it was, in a way, a self-sacrifice for her. She was willing to self-sacrifice to help her new mother, who was Naomi. So she said some very kind and encouraging things to her. So they went back to Judah and arrived at the beginning of the barley harvest. And so to get some food, Ruth went out to glean in the field. And it just so happened she went to the field of a relative, a man named Boaz. Pick up the story over in chapter 2, verse 5. And we see that there is another kind person. And this person is Boaz. Then Boaz said to his servant who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young woman. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? When you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So here we have a wealthy man, and he shows this young foreigner a great kindness by saying, hey, you stick with us. We'll take care of you. We'll make sure you're not harmed. We'll provide water for you. You can glean just with my people. He didn't have to do that. Boaz did not have to do that. He made a choice to be nice and kind and pleasant to Ruth. He had a kind heart, as we see as we read through the story. In verse 11, Boaz, of course, Ruth before that said, why are you being so good to me? And Boaz answered and said, been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law. So she had a reputation for having done good things for her mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you left your father and mother and the land of your birth and have come to the people you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and a full reward be given you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge. So here again, said very kind things to her. And then she said in verse 13, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants." And so she responded, speaking kindly to him, as, you know, thanking him basically for showing her the favor. So, you know, as you read through the story, you see how they just treated each other so kindly and pleasantly. And then go to verse 19, when Naomi heard what happened at the end of the day, she said to Ruth, "Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work?" Because Ruth brought back a lot more grain than she had expected. "Blessed be the one who took notice of you," or "who was kind to you." And then she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said his name was Boaz. And then Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, "Blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead." So Naomi gave the credit to our great God for showing kindness to them. I'm sure they had taken their situation to God in prayer. God had answered their prayer with for the people to be kind to them, and has showed kindness, gave them favor in the eyes of, or brought them to a kind person. Also showed favor, but also brought them to a kind person. So Naomi recognized that things are looking up. Things are much more positive. So as you read through the story, you find out that Boaz was an older man. He was a bachelor. He was much older than Ruth, and he probably would have been very hesitant to initiate a marriage proposal with a much younger woman. So, you know, maybe it's obvious he liked Ruth, but being as old as he was, he didn't feel it was proper for him to ask for marriage. So Naomi and Ruth decided they would actually show them that Ruth would be willing to marry him. So we pick up the story over in chapter 3, verse 6. So Ruth went down to the threshing floor and did, this was at night, and did according to all that her mother-in-law had instructed her. And after Boaz had eaten and drinking, his heart was cheerful. He went to lie down at the end of the heap of grain, and she came softly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. Now it happened at midnight that the man was startled, turned himself, and there was a woman lying at his feet. And he said, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am Ruth, your maidservant. Take your maidservant under your wing, for you are a close relative." And then he said, "Blessed are you of the Lord, my daughter, for you have shown more kindness at the end than at the beginning, in that you did not go after young men, whether poor or rich." But she showed kindness to him. He appreciated her kindness. He appreciated her doing what she did to show that she was willing to marry him. And so this whole story revolves around one person being kind to another. Another person responds with kindness. And it ends up, Boaz and Ruth did get married. God blessed their marriage with a son named Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse. And Jesse was the father of David. So Boaz and Ruth were the great-grandparents of David. God picked two very kind and pleasant people who both appreciated the kindness and goodness of each other to be the great-great-grandparents of David, of that family. So we all can try to be kind and pleasant to others. I mean, sometimes we get caught up in our problems and our own ambitions and our own things, and you know, we just don't even think about, we just ignore people. We don't think about what we say. That can happen to all of us. But once again, how are we to be? Another scripture on that. 1 Peter, this time, chapter 3, 8 through 9. How are we to be, according to the scriptures? 1 Peter 3, 8 through 9. Very similar to the scripture in Romans. It says, finally, all of you, be of one mind, having compassion for one another, being sensitive to one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessing, knowing that you were called to this, that you might inherit a blessing. So it's a matter of being sensitive to one another, being concerned about one another, being concerned about the feelings of one another. But what do you do if the other person's or person's behavior causes a problem or has caused a problem or puts you in a situation that you don't want to be in? Well, sometimes you have to say, no, I'm sorry. You do it in a kind way. You let people down in a kind way. You say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm sorry, I don't want to do that. You say it as kind and as pleasant as you can, but as firmly as you can too. For instance, for me, I have to turn people down for loans at least every week I have to turn somebody down for a loan. But, you know, I've come to say, realize, you know, you just got to tell them. You just got to say, no, the answer is no, we can't do this loan. I'm sorry. But because you were late paying your payments in the past, I can't help you. But you can improve your chances for approval in the future by, from now on, keeping what payments you have paid on time, getting the collection accounts paid off. Just all those things will help improve your credit score. And the next time you come in, if you've got a much better credit score, it's going to help me in getting your loan approved. So you say no, but you let them know what they need to do. In this case, I let them know what they need to do so that I can say yes, which is what they wanted to hear. Another example, if someone wants to have a serious relationship with you, sometimes you have to say, no, I'm not ready for a serious relationship right now. I'm not ready. No. But, hey, we can be friends. So you try to let them down in a pleasant way. And if you're the one being let down, try to accept it in as pleasant a way as possible. Hey, no problem. It's great that we can still be friends. It's great to have a friend like you. So, hey, no problem. I understand. So, what are some ways that we can be more kind and pleasant? These are just practical things I came across on a very good thing on the internet that I found. Things that we can do to be more kind, apply in our lives practically to show kindness and pleasantness towards others. The first thing we can do is something we all can do, and that is we can smile. You know, just have a nice smile. Or it could be just a little grin or a little wink of the eye. You know, just to let them know you recognize them. it's just raises the mood of the encounter to be a positive encounter. So even when you're feeling low, you know, give them a little wink or give them a little smile. You know, that's just an act of kindness and pleasantness. Another thing you can do is just acknowledge other people. Just say hi or hello the first time you've seen them that day. Say good morning. You know, I walk into work and I have to walk all the way through the bank from the door to where I put my lunch in the refrigerator. So I walk past almost everybody that's there, and it's just a tradition. Every morning we just say hi to each other. You know, we just, it's just a friendly hi, hello, and try to give them a smile, and they give you a smile, and it just starts the day off much better, you know. So acknowledge other people and your first encounter that day. Good to see you, or, you know, just different things you can say. Another thing you can do to show kindness is to ask people how they're doing. You want to do that in a way without being nosy or, you know, being intrusive, you know, to say, hey, how are you doing today? Or how are things going for you? Or how did that work out for you? Or, you know, and then once you've asked the question, you need to make sure you listen attentively. And I got myself in trouble on this one last week. I was talking to a guy, and I asked him how it was an Amish guy in the lobby of the bank, and I just helped him up a loan, and he has a neat little business where he manufactures farm equipment, and asked him how it was going, and he said, well, I have an interesting thing going on. I'm going to be actually having a school at my property. So I pictured a lot of Amish young people coming there and seeing where they manufacture this equipment. Well, anyway, in the middle of our conversation, this other guy comes over and starts saying, I need to sign these papers and all this stuff, and I got distracted from the first guy. And I felt bad about that. I should have just continued listening to him, and the other guy would have had to wait. But the other guy was being a little impulsive, kind of just barging into the middle of our conversation and interrupting. But oh well, that's the situations you get into. Be a good listener. Also, is another thing you can do. Politely wait for them to finish before you move on to something else or before you respond. And also, to be a good listener, you need to respond. Just in some way to let them know that you were listening. Another thing you need to remember is to be courteous. Use words like please, thank you. Use thank you a lot. Or you're welcome. If they thank you, you need to respond. You're welcome. Treat people with respect. Be courteous. Be patient, observant, and considerate. Another point they brought out, I wouldn't have thought of this one. Don't forget to be nice and kind to animals. Don't forget to be nice and kind to animals. Because sometimes the way you treat animals is the way you're naturally going to treat people. I just thought about that as growing up, I had a brother who was not always the nicest guy. And anyway, when a stray dog would come around our place, he would get some tin cans, he would cut holes in them and put rocks in them, and then he'd tie a string to the tin cans, and then he would grab the dog and tie the tin cans to the tail of the dog, and then he'd kick the dog, and of course the can would come up against the dog's hind feet and hurt it, and the dog would yelp and run even harder, and my brother would just laugh, and he was of course showing off to other people that were around, but that wasn't being very kind to animals. It wasn't a very kind thing. Maybe he, my brother, maybe regrets he did that. I doubt it. But anyway, that is just an example of something we shouldn't have done. I know I laughed when it happened as a child, you know, but you weren't really thinking of how it was treating this animal. Another thing to do is to remember is to be positive. Look for ways to cheer up those that are down. You can kind of sense when people are down, and you know, just look for a way that you can kind of cheer them up a little bit. And also remember that there's two sides to most situations. Try to look at the positive if you can. Try to look and see if there's a positive side to the situation, and try to help your friend who is down see the positive in his situation. Another thing to remember is to be humble. Be humble. And you have to ask yourself, do I think that I am better than others? Do I think that I am better than others? Do I think that I know more than others? If we do, we're probably not humble. People pick up on an attitude of, I think I'm better than others. People pick up on that attitude. So kind of have a humble attitude. Be sincere. Be sincere. Don't be kind and pleasant because you want to get something, but be kind and pleasant because you just want to be a kind and pleasant person. You want to be a person who is pleasing to God. You want to be a person who has asked for God's Holy Spirit, and God's responded by giving you His Holy Spirit. Which brings to probably the greatest point of all is we need to ask God for His Holy Spirit. We need to ask God for His Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit will do more than anything to help us have kindness and goodness and gentleness toward others. Another thing to remember is don't be two-faced. Don't talk one way and then when the person is left, talk entirely differently about them behind their back. So don't be two-faced. If you talk about people behind the back, eventually it comes back to them. Just like those ladies at the firehouse. All that bad talk, they eventually knew about it. And then they talk bad and then the firemen know about it. And you got a situation that's just feeding on itself. It's just not good. Another thing, fill your days with small acts of kindness. Doesn't have to be anything major. Doesn't have to be earth-shattering, but just try to do small acts of kindness to those that are around you. Another thing to remember is to do not discriminate. Try to be equally pleasant to everyone, especially to those who maybe are not the best looking, maybe not the most popular, maybe they're not the most cool. Just try to be pleasant and respectful to everyone. Don't discriminate. And these were some things that they suggested that we could do to those that we that are their family, they're close to us, those that we love dearly. And things that we often forget to do. Offer to help. Offer to help. You know, if one of our family members is really busy, they're really stressed, say, hey, isn't there something I can do? Is it something I can help you with that it'll take a little bit of the burden off your load today? And then you yourself look for ways that you could help them. Maybe it's just running an errand. Maybe it's taking a phone call. Maybe it's just all kinds of different things we can do to help one another that we are with on a daily basis, people that we're on a daily basis working with or living with. Another thing is learn how to share. Learn how to share. Sharing, I don't think, comes naturally to most people, but learn how to share. Learn how to be generous. Strive to give more than you are taking. Strive to give more than you're taking. And another thing, especially to family members, is to be reliable. If you say you're going to do something, do it. You know, be there when they need you. Be there when they need you. A small thing you could do would be to return phone calls promptly. Return phone calls promptly. And like I said, if you say you're going to do something, do it. Be reliable. And then the last thing that I have is to take the high road. Take the high road. Always strive to take the high road. Control your emotions. Control your temper. Bite your tongue sometimes. Don't let it get to you. Cool off before you you say something unkind or angry or escalate the situation. Because we're all going to be treated unkindly from time to time. And to break that cycle, we need to not return their emotions and their attitude, you know, to them. So take the high road. It's not easy, but it's something we all should do. Have self-control, which is one of God's Holy Spirit, one of God's fruits of His Holy Spirit. So, yes, being kind and pleasant matters. It mattered for David. It would have mattered for Rehoboam. It mattered for the people and the nation, the subjects of Rehoboam, if he would have been kind and pleasant. It mattered for Boaz. It mattered for Ruth. It mattered for Naomi. It matters to God. So what kind of light are we going to be if we are not kind and pleasant? So, if you remember nothing else about this sermon this week, try to remember that being kind and pleasant matters. Being kind and pleasant matters.